Somebody aggressively opened a door.
I saw it in your eyes. I was like, oh, are they okay? Like, am I about to watch tragedy? Like,
not the white girl recording a D&D podcast.
Like, doesn't stop it. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, hey, are we gonna do something? Like, are we gonna call someone? Like,
nah, it's too late.
I have to say, you have changed. Congratulations. You've changed the trajectory of my life from now on.
I can't wait to see the TikTok stories of all of that.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's fine. And it could have been anybody. Anybody could have opened the door. Let's hope it's the loved one. Let's hope it's somebody I know.
That's the best case scenario. We love a best case scenario.
I agree.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Dungeons & Degrees. My name's Adrian.
And I'm Alex.
And today we have a special guest. Special guest, introduce yourself.
Hello. Hi, everyone, you know, who's listening. I am CJ McCullough, a.k.a. Scholastic Dragon, online. I mean, you can find me on Twitter. I think it's Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, most places. Oh, and itch.io, at Scholastic Dragon. If you're, like, searching my at, it's Scholastic Dragon. One word, no caps. Scholastic like the book fair, dragon like the mythical creature, but drop the O on dragon. And my pronouns are they, them.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about consulting as well as game design and, you know, good old-fashioned TTRPG stuff. Apologies if I sound very, like, low energy. I don't know why. I woke up at a good time and then just knocked out right before the podcast, so I woke up like 30 minutes before. And
oh my god,
like,
me too.
Oh, thank goodness there was no alarm. So if I sound super like, hey, how's everything going? You know, that is why I sound different. I'm not sick. I'm fine.
Smooth radio. It's smooth. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I was literally napping before. I don't know, before this.
Alex is flicking us off because.
Fuck both of y'all.
Got off of work.
Were you at, like, work?
Yeah, I wake up at 5:30 in the morning. Ooh. And then I go teach children.
Oh no.
And then today there was a traffic jam. Okay. So.
Yeah, that's you are 9 to 5. You're working hard.
I wish it was 9 to 5. Give me that 9 to 5 life again. 7:30 to 4:30. That's not as...
Yeah, it's almost catchy. I don't think Dolly would want that.
No. 30 minutes for lunch. No, it's all bad.
That hurt. That hurt me.
Yeah. It's the teacher shortage. That's why. Yeah. I could listen. I would make it very clear, very quickly, of like, ah, that's why nobody wants to be a teacher.
It's the 30-minute lunch.
30-minute lunch. I eat astronomically fast now, though. And I don't know how to slow it down. So where I'm like, oh, I'm slow. Like, I've taken my time. I've had conversations. Then I look around and people are still like in bite 2 or 3. I'm like, ah, fuck me. Like, I'm done.
Your power. Your powers are too great.
No tummy aches here.
I have that issue, but that's because I used to play World of Warcraft. And then in the middle of a dungeon,
no.
I had to go downstairs to eat with my family. And then I'm like, yes, what do you want? I'll tell you about my day. Let's go, let's go. Let's get this going.
Everybody's on cooldown. I've got to eat, and then we got to get back.
Yeah, pretty much. They're just like, you just don't talk to us, man. I will talk to you, Mom. You just got to ask the right questions.
Come on. Like, oh, oh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Good old days. All right, let's talk about some TTRPGs. What got you into TTRPGs, CJ?
You know, I think like most, I don't know if it's actually most people, I think like a pretty significant number of people, I started playing Dungeons and Dragons, like, in college. So not that long. Well, no, it has been a long time at this point because I've been out of college for a while. Like, I'm just going to throw a number. Like, 6-7 years ago, I started playing with my buds because I was, like, going through a rough time TM in college. And they, and, like, one of my friends looked, well, they weren't my friends at the time. One of my friends looked at me and was like, "You look sad. Do you want to play Dungeons and Dragons? Like, I'm trying to start a campaign." And I was like, "Yeah." Like, and from there, we played, like, a 2-year long thing, like not like fully 2 years, like I don't know how many months, but like school 2 years, so mostly 2 years. And then from there I got bored. That's not necessarily true. Like the pandemic hit and I was in the house and I wasn't getting like necessarily what I wanted from like the home group, so I branched out to the internet world, and now it's all I do. Granted, it was all I do before, but like now it's all I do officially.
Okay, so you kind of went to the internet. This is kind of start you like branching into other things or creating your own worlds or systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like to say to people that like my first foray into like game design, because that's my thing now. I feel like I didn't even say that at the start. Hi, I'm CJ. I'm a game designer, actual play performer, tabletop enthusiast, and world builder. There we go. I said it this time. But the thing that got me into, I tell people that the thing that got me into game design was like my desire to homebrew things in Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, because that's, because like I feel like not a lot of people, well, no, I don't know what people think about it, because I don't talk to a lot of people about D&D 5th edition because they exhaust me. They just do. But like I say that like my first foray in the game design was spending 9 hours creating weapons and like classes and a bunch of other shit for my homebrew campaigns that like, wait, can I curse here?
Yes.
Sick. I always ask after I curse. It's like, and everyone asks when they get on our like my podcast, they're like, "Can we curse here?" And it's like, if you could, like, we've already gone beyond that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like kind of just like making a bunch of shit for D&D and then being like, "Okay, everyone hold this," and then people usually hold it for a little bit, and then I needed something more.
What was your first homebrew, either item, class? What was the first thing that you're like, "This is not what I want. I want to fix it. I need to alter it"? Or is that too far back?
I'm a little goblin and just started from scratch because I was like, it's one of those things where it's like, because my friends were doing it and I was like, well, I want to do it. I think the most notable thing, oh god, it's one of two things that I can't think about. I think like when I spent the most time that was just ridiculous was I was making like a sword for like my character because my DM had made one and I was like, "This is okay, but I need it to be perfect for my character." So I like, it took me a long, I now can do these things a lot faster because I know how to do it, but it was like, how do I, because the only reason that anyone uses Beyond is because it's literally like, it makes your life easier. However, your life does not become easier if you're the one making all of the things anyway. Like I should have just written it down at this point, but like, I was like, how do I add finesse to this so that I can use dexterity and it shows up on my sheet? What if I don't want this to be two-handed? Okay, remove the two-handed property. How do I add a magic bonus? Like, it's a whole thing. It is a whole thing. And I'm not upset that I did it. It was fun during the time. But when you mix ADHD and game design, sometimes you look up and it's like, oh, I haven't eaten today. And it's been like 7 hours.
Yeah, that can happen. I kind of want to start talking about your consulting work.
Yeah.
And how that came about.
Yeah. My first consultation ever was with this individual who thinks I'm hot. I could be way more descriptive, but I'm not going to. It's not because I don't want you to know who they are. That's just the nature of our relationship. They're like creating a game, like a video game. They're creating a video game, and they were talking I think it's called like Boiling Over, something along those lines. And they reached out to me. They were like, hey, me and my team, like I'm a college student. We're mutuals, me and you, you and me and this individual, we're mutuals. Like, I would like you to like read through, like, can you help us out? Can you like have some time to talk through this? And we did, and it was short. And I feel like I definitely could have done a lot more for them, but it was more of a, it was a conversation that I think helped root me in my praxis of like game design and world building very easily. Because I would love to tell like some college students like, hey, fucking go pay a million, like pay a bunch of money to everyone, especially me, even though I know you're like already just shoving your head into this thing. Like, it's a whole thing. It is a whole thing. But instead I was like, hey, I understand your desire to like have some diversity in here, but I want you to think about the approach that you're going about this. Instead of necessarily thinking like, we want like a black protagonist, like I want you to think about like the experience that this person is having, and then maybe like kind of swap some things around, like really just do the dungeon master like non-racist effect, please, I'm begging you, like you, it will take you a long way, like just step by step will take you a long way, and you're not going to make caricatures, and I'm sure nobody, I personally will not be calling you out on Twitter if you at least do this much.
Yeah. Do you see that all too often in other games where they're just like, oh, we need this kind of minority character, and then they just, it becomes like something worth calling out?
I think a lot of what I usually see is often people's really, yes, actually, I don't know why I was going off on a whole other thing. Yes, what you're literally saying is yes, that is what, because people have, there's like this, it depends on like a project, because sometimes you see projects in which they're like, hey, we are doing, I don't have the widest breadth of consultation, but I read a lot. I have a big brain. I don't be afraid to fucking say nice things about yourself. But often what I see with people is that it's one of two things. And I feel like I see this every day. The first of which is, hey, we're trying to include this specific like type of race of character, or like this diverse character, like could you help us out? And the other is, hey, we've done the work and decided to tell this diverse story that we have no business telling, and we'd like to hop you in like after it's already been written. And that one makes my blood boil.
Yeah, it's like, we did the work. We just need to make sure that we're covering our bases. Like, yes. No, you should have had somebody at the start. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, there's, like, obviously some issues that some, like, newer people that, and people have been here the whole time, aka Wizards, just don't apparently get what the hell they're doing with, like, either including diversity or understanding the harmful stereotypes that may come across when producing this kind of content. What would be something that you would recommend for people to do to understand, like, hey, you should either read this book or, you know, want higher consultation? What are the things that you would advise people to do to make sure that they're not being big old dummies?
I think the easiest one is, like, consume media from people that like don't look like you, talk like you, or act like you, because I feel like that's that would be a great starting point for you to be like, wow, I am severely under, like, I don't know this thing. Because the biggest problem that I look from in the forests of diversity onto the hills of the people that apparently have the money is that they think they know things. As like general as that sounds, like often people that aren't doing that aren't putting forth the correct amount of effort are the people that like think they like, yeah, this is fine, like, or like, or end up unintentionally doing harm. It's like, yeah, we just kind of like, yeah, we kind of got some people, but like, we know more than you, and like, we're gonna do this thing, so like, it's gonna get put out, and clearly we don't have checks and balances in place that like allow people with more experience, like more experience, to stop us from doing this sort of thing. Cough, cough, the Hedosian Watsy. Like, let's be honest. Like, yeah. Me and my friends looked at that and were like, there was no black people in this room. Like, there was not enough black people in this room. Or there wasn't a black person able to stop you from posting this in the room or something. Because every step of this feels, ugh, bad.
Yeah.
But like, often people just don't they're like, oh, like, I didn't know. And I feel like that's an excuse that often people will let slide, like, oh, they didn't know. But, like, if you are someone, and again, I get it, it's hard work. If you're someone that continually checks themselves, like, I there's a lot of things I don't know. I'm gonna ask. There's one thing about me, I'm gonna ask. I'm gonna be like, hey, I don't get this, or like, this doesn't, hey, ooh, this doesn't feel like up my alley. Let's get someone more qualified, like, instead of just publishing something. No.
All right. And I felt like that it was like a big thing right before the Hoodozie kind of came out. It was like, look at all these diverse writers we have, because of I forget, it's like the Citadel.
Yep, Radiant Citadel.
Yeah, that was a big thing. And then they do this move, we're like, ah, it was all PR or something. It was like, and we don't care after that.
Yeah, it just doesn't look good. And there's probably a million things I could say about it, but at the end of the day, I'd simply think it's like, they just weren't looking. Like, they weren't looking, and they don't have the checks and balances. I mean, there's so many statements they have to release, like, we're sorry for doing an oopsie racism in the last 5 years alone. And it's like, okay, all right, it's okay, besties, you're not gonna change fast enough, it's okay, just say it. I mean, I wouldn't, but I would say, like, you know, we're not gonna change, fuck you. I'd rather hear that than like, we're sorry.
Chick-fil-A apologizing for supporting conversion therapy, but then being like, oh, I'm sorry, but then like sliding the literally check over.
Like, just like, no, go ahead.
Just, no, that was it. That was my,
just say it. It's like, we don't like gay people, sorry. Not even sorry, it's like, we don't like gay people, and you're gonna have to deal with that and eat our chicken. I'd be like, I'm not gonna eat your chicken, but at least, like, okay, you're pretty upfront about this. I can move on about my day.
yes,
they ain't changing that.
And I think that's the hard part about, like, loving this game, because it does bring so many good things to people, and, like, it is the gateway drug to other TTRPGs, and it's easy to find, and all of the accessibility is there, especially when you want to get started. But then, how do you continue to support it? How do you justify that within yourself? And, you know, part of it is being lazy, like, it's easy to access materials for 5e. It's hard to pay the upfront costs for smaller indie TTRPGs. And so, yeah, you've got to balance that within your own spirit.
From my experience with, like, smaller TTRPGs or, like, smaller creators, they do more work than some of the kind of established people. They're like, I want to make sure that my content is good as well as, you know, not stepping any bounds. And, like, for the most part, usually their content doesn't, but they do have the checks and balances in place because, one, you know, they're in diverse groups already. Like, hey, can you read this over? Does anything, like, make sense? Does something come off as bad? Like, something I'm not getting? Like, they do the work more so than these big freaking corporations that are out for a paycheck, unfortunately. So, like, I've been more in tune with, like, seeing new artists, people that are in smaller in the communities that I've been a part of now, and looking to their content instead of the kind of registered. Because at first, homebrew, when I first started playing, was like, oh, this is a bad word, I don't know if this is good enough, I don't know if this is bad enough. And then eventually I came to, like, homebrew is where it's at now, only
like, I have a fondness for Dungeons and Dragons. I do. I play it now. I still play it. But there's a twofold point I come to, like, more recently, but also often, is that the more serious one is, like, it is really hard consuming something that doesn't love you back.
Yeah.
Like, and they keep proving that.
Like America.
Like, yes, speak on it. You're so correct. Yeah, like, it hurts. It's kind of toxic. Like, it's tiring. It's exhausting. And sure, I could say nothing, but that doesn't necessarily make the weird and icky things go away. And the second, like, less serious thing is, what game do you know where people are like, you don't have to read the rules to play this? Like that doesn't feel correct. Like, I feel like we need to address that. Like, like, why can I own the Dungeon Master's Guide and not use it? Like, okay. All right.
Listen, I think I got through, like, 20, like, 50 pages of the Dungeon Master Guide. I'm like, this is a lot. I just want to play.
Yeah. I'm like, what are we doing here? Why are you telling me to, like, buy 2 to 3 core books just for me not to use it, besties? And then if I use it, it's, like, not formatted well, even for my game. It's very confusing. It's confusing. It's weird. I don't get it. Everyone's like, well, just homebrew it. And I'm like, besties, I think we're on the homebrew train a little too hard. I think we need to ask for some more.
I agree, because that's really hard for beginners too, right? Like, mm-hmm. if I want to get in this, but I do have an idea of what's going on in the D&D world, how do I get into this game without having some idea of what to do? I am the opposite of Adrian. I read both manuals from cover to cover in prep. I know, I'm probably like an elite few. Of which I still was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I read it. So maybe that'll, and I took notes. Ah, I feverishly took notes. I was like, what do I do? I don't know how to do any of this. But yeah, I think you're right that as much as we want to ignore all the bad parts, like there has to be a push to like actually fixing things. But then like, how do we do that without still trying to play the game and like we can't boycott and I fuck this.
Exhausting.
Capitalism again.
Mm-hmm. So true. It's exhausting. It's a lot. Ugh, I'm shaking your hand. I also read all of the books that I had and took notes. I like just gave my like I just gave a book to a potential partner. Like, here you go. Like, here's the Dungeon Master's Guide. You're not going to need this, but like, here you go. And they're like, thank you. And I'm like, and I just kind of walked away and I was like, oh shit, I left some notes in there. I left like some sticky notes in there for like weapons or something. Probably didn't even use them. Like,
is this potential partner like not a partner anymore? Is this potential partner still in the like, in the gray zone?
Oh, it's just the gray zone. We're just like casually dating right now. It's been like a month or something. Like, we were literally just hanging out the other day. We were just vibing.
My sister let her ex-partner take our books with him. Yeah.
I'm assuming you never got those back.
I don't think we're going to. I don't. I might fight him next time I see him but like, yeah, she just let him go like it was no big deal.
You know, it's like a curse. It's a burden. It's okay. He'll read them I don't know their pronouns, but that person will read them and like will be like, haha, I'm going to have so much fun. And then have to go through like the 6-month span of like, oh, wait, I don't get this. Oh, wait, I don't need this. Like it might be good on y'all.
To off the burden.
Aha. Yeah. Dude, I think like handing books to a potential partner is like very romantic, very personal. I still have some books from like former partners that I'm still good with, and it's just like that's like a core piece of them.
Yeah.
I handed out a book that I was super. I think it was Perks of Being a Wallflower. I handed that book out, like, and they come back to me, and then the one I gave it to a cousin because I thought he needed it, but then it came, he never got it back. I'm like, does that hurt, cousin? I can never lend that piece of me to anybody else now. I mean, I can get another book, but like, that was my book. That was my first book. It hurts.
It hurts.
I think we've talked about it. I let my 5th grade boyfriend borrow Chambers of Secrets.
Ooh, yeah.
And he returned it with the binding broken, like he had snapped the binding. And from that moment on, not only do I not trust anybody with my books, like that was just, it was a closed off moment. And now I have to remember this motherfucker for the rest of my life. Anytime I open it.
That's heavy.
Yeah. Not that it gets opened anymore because once again, it's another problematic writer.
I feel a lot of people say this, but how do you like write something and then not shut up? Do I want people like favored childhood authors to be problematic? No, but like, how hard is it to shut up? Just, that's my question. I'll never get an answer, but like,
no.
No. We're never gonna get that answer.
Come on, Joanne, we're begging. Just
And then how do we not look at that entire series in a different lens? How do we not, like, you've tainted it. You've tainted the whole...
You've ruined this, Joanne. Your powers have no more effect here.
Palpatine does.
What games are you currently playing?
What games am I currently playing? CJ's thinking. Oh, well, one of my favorite games, it's a shame, but I love this game. It's not that it's bad. One of my favorite games that I'm playing is Urban Shadows, second edition by, I think, Magpie Games. It's still in its, like, I don't know if it's called a beta, but it's still in its unreleased form. I have the quick start. Me and all my homies relatively enjoy Urban Shadows second edition. However, my bestie is like, second edition is worse than first edition, and I'm like, I'm just gonna believe you, because there's an aspect of the game that, like, there's like a core mechanic in the game that no one uses, and it brings me back yet again to the question of, if no one's using this, why is this here? Please take it out. Like, you guys still have time. Come on, Magpie, I'm begging.
Yeah, Magpie, I think they're the ones that do masks as well.
Yes, right? Yes.
I think when I went to Gen Con, I stopped by their booth and kind of talked to some people there. They were selling it. I'm like, because I've always heard about some other games, but yeah. Okay, so Urban and, oh, I lost the name already.
Urban Shadows.
Urban Shadows. And do you, because you said you're, you know, a performer, any live plays that you have concurrent, or is it mostly just like one-offs?
Oh yeah, no, that's actually, we're actually wrapping up the, so I'm playing Urban Shadows currently, for an actual play over on Friends Who Roll Dice. We are the Wild Wild West, Urban Shadows game, in which we're just in a city, like, bullying each other for an hour every Sunday. It's so messy. I'm the messiest one. don't let my calm demeanor and tired personality fool you. I'm rancid. everyone yells at me. They're like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, besties. Because someone has to not do plot. Nobody has to not do plot. Let's be clear here. But this time it's going to be me.
It's my turn to be the chaos.
It's my turn to hold the chaos stick every single episode. And everyone's like, what am I going to get the hurt? And then we just kind of like break it off into little pieces and everyone holds the chaos stick. It's also the brain cell. unfortunately, we spent an entire episode. This is due to me. I will openly admit this. Eli, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. An entire episode just like flirting with a non-vampire who I thought was a vampire, who I then did an arm wrestling contest with, and then trying to lose, because that's apparently Mel's go-to, is that she's like, you want to like arm wrestle me, and then like we'll lose, and then it's like, oh no, like you get whatever you want, and it's like, why are you taking off your shirt? Mel is messy. In which we were literally, we should have been doing plot, like wholeheartedly should have been doing plot, but we only had, like, our time was cut short, and then I had, like, gotten way too deep into the flirting, but I couldn't back out then, because they were like, if you want, it was a whole thing, and, anyway, then a guy walked in who we thought was dead, who we watched die, and he walked in kind of like jacked with a sword, and we're like, wait a second, Jeb, hold on, if you were gonna look this hot, you should have told us. And then he got mean, so we had to beat him up.
Yeah that tends to happen. All the villains are pretty hot and then they're mean and like, oh gosh, we gotta do something about this now.
We weren't involved before, but now we're too invested.
Should have burned down that orphanage.
You were one orphanage too many away from us doing something about this.
How many is too many orphanages? That's a great question. To burn down, would you?
Depends on how hot you are. I think you get like, I think if there's no children there, because that'd be a lot. Right. If it's like, because like to a degree, like especially there will almost always never be children in there. Right, however, right. You are taking away these children's homes. But if you're hot, like you get one, you can say it's an accident. Two, it's a habit. It's a pattern. We got to do something. And if you're not hot, like if you walk too close to the orphanage, we beat you up. Okay. However, hot is a state of mind. So like, There's a lot of like wiggle room for orphanage burning.
One day you're at zero, another day you could be at two.
It takes one bad day.
We're over you.
How many times do I have to teach you this lesson? Me holding the chaos stick. Yeah. This lesson, orphanage burner.
Yes. In all scenarios in my games, orphanages, the orphans get out.
Yeah, of course. Like, nobody wants to be a weirdo. Nobody's like, I'm going to do violence to small people. And it's like, no. However, I am going to be a bad person. So, and then so continues to life.
We have to show off that aspect of you. See, I've had that issue before where they're like, I don't trust this guy that's being buddy-buddy to me. I'm like, gosh, I have to be assholes to my players. And they're like, who's this? You know, like, he's just controlling the room. And then they're like, oh, good. They don't suspect that guy, but they expect, you know, Barty the Bard, who's just trying to play songs for money.
Literally. And it's like, he's smiling too much. You know, we're in a fantasy world. People can be happy for once. Come on, y'all.
No, it's too suspicious. Why?
You're so right.
Where's the indoor plumbing? Where's Are you too happy?
Where's the bathroom, Barty? And it's like, oh, it's right there. And it's like, you answered that too quickly. I think you're evil. And it's like, you guys are gonna force this, aren't you? Fine, Barty could be evil, but I'm gonna make you feel bad about it.
Are you mostly a player or are you mostly a GM?
That is a great question. That is such a great question. What is the answer? I think right now I'm mostly a player. I have a home game that I run weekly, so that kind of like takes up like, I don't know how, if there's 7 days out of the week, fuck it, 6 days out of the week, because that's easier math. I think that's like 15% of the time, all the time. But for those other like 3 days, I'm a player. So I guess, yeah, the answer would be player.
Gotcha. Having new games, sometimes there's far and few between, but sometimes there's those episodes where you're like, I need X amount of players now, and you have to keep trying over because some people are flaky and some people stay. Here's the question. Here's the kicker. Uh-huh. When people start creating characters, how do you assist? How do you help? And how do you as a GM dictate like what is allowed or what isn't allowed?
This sounds like such a flake answer I'm giving you, but I fucking don't. It's actually funny that like my brain is stuck on like the when people don't show up, because I also have a policy for that, but it's not mean as in like they don't like it, it's mean as if everyone looks at me and is like, I almost wish I came. I tend, because there, for me, there's not a pipeline, there's a trajectory of myself and like quote unquote what happens to be acceptable or what's cool at the table, which went from I don't know how to play this game, I now know how to play this game, so some things are broken, if this isn't cool, I don't want it at my table, because I know like all feels like a lie, but like I know a majority of the rules of like Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition because I've played it so much for so long, to a point at which I now know which of these rules do I not like, which of these am I throwing out, like which of these are relatively useless, or which of these are most necessary, which then transfers to like my character creation at my table. This actually has come up recently because I have a friend who played with me in my original group that I talked about like at the beginning of this episode, who I don't play with anymore. But my friend from that group, one of my best friends, has started playing with me now. And they've played with me before, like when I was like a baby GM and I barely knew what I was doing. But they came to me now and they were like, hey, like, can I have this thing? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, what? That was like so fast. Like, what do you mean I can just have this thing? I'm like, yeah, like, read it to me. And they're like, it's like four sentences in, and I'm like, nope, that was too long. Like, because I'm going to have to ask you this, like, during the game, and you're going to start reading this to me, and I'm going to get bored. So what I'm going to need you to do is pick something cooler with shorter flavor text, and we're going to run with it. Because I fundamentally believe that I'm going to cheat. There is no breaking. There's no broken for me. Like, if they do 45 damage, oh no, the enemy now has an extra 45 damage. Like, the fight's going to go on until this stops being fun. Like, so what I actively do when it comes to character creation is that I ask my players, if they have the time, because I understand if you don't have the time, to pick something that you enjoy and bring it back to me, or like tell me something that you enjoy or a goal that you have or something that you want to do, and I am going to put this in my world and we are going to have fun with it and we are going to explore, because I'm going to get all of the things that I want as a GM. Like, CJ is going to be, I'm going to make my fun little twists. Like, I'm going to sit there in the wee hours of the night and change all of the racial languages to country languages and say, like, all right, let's stop being weird wizards. Like, I know what I like. However, for my players to have fun, I need to know what you like, and I need to know your boundaries, and I need to know what's going on so that we all can have a great collective storytelling time. And that, for me, means not giving a fuck what they pick, as long as it's not fucking weird or cringe.
like edgelord, like, all my family and civilization has died. I am the last samurai.
No, literally. And I have to look at you and be like, do you know what that means? Like, I want you to run that back to me, Chief, because I need you to tell me, like, do you know what it means for your entire civilization to be dead? Because I will be exploring this, and you will get exhausted after an episode, so...
be ready.
Be prepared. So pick something happier, because I will give you the tragedy.
You want it, you got it. Here you go.
It's, yeah, I mean, at that point, it sounds like they want it, so...
Oh, yeah, they...
The consent was given.
All of my players are masochists. I love my players. I saw like a tweet the other day that was like, the best relationship is the GM that loves their players and the players that something. I don't know what the other half of the tweet was. And I sent that to them and I was like, I love you all, but oh my God, why do you keep stuffing your characters with traumas? Like, it's okay. Like, we can run with it. But holy hell.
You're just giving me more fodder to play. Like, you made a backstory. I'm going to include it. And to the intensity of its inclusion is depending on how much you want to feel. We're gonna have fun.
Literally.
I have an idea. Here's a partnership. Local DMs need to partner up with a psychiatrist, a psychologist, some sort of therapy. And then you are going to refer your players, and then from their payment, you'll get a kickback. Like, I'm giving you detailed DM notes about what this person is playing in our D&D campaign. Here is what I've already done some pre-work for you.
Here you go, like, literally.
Here you go. This player doesn't want to fucking listen to directions. Like, this player is having problems with their partner. Like,
literally, me going to therapy. Here's my D&D character.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with this? And it's like, just read it. You'll see.
You'll understand. Little backstory, like, line number four. Like, we'll get
this. This is another iteration of play therapy. You know, I already did the whole session. Here's the notes from that session. Now you do your psychology.
Come on, mental health professional. Read me for filth. I need this clearly.
I'm just saying, like, where the team up is natural. It is there. It should be.
It's the aftercare they deserve.
A real therapist.
Yeah. You just like slide a card across the table.
It's after
like,
you this killed her character.
We played 13 sessions and I've had 2 character deaths. They're never my fault. And I know what it sounds like.
No, I completely agree.
They're never your fault. You're right.
They're never. Thank you. Absolve me from all of my crimes. This is why I'm here.
I'm only a QMHP, but one day, one day.
No, they always message me like, let my character die. And I'm like, besties, you know there's more trials ahead. It's okay. You can live. We can work something out. But they're like, nope, this is it. This is the end of them. And I'm like, okay, just do it.
All that planning.
There's that card.
Literally. But they're all very nice and sweet people.
Yeah.
I tell them.
All right. You said you had an itch.io, and is this some games you've designed or some rule sets or...
Yeah. Because I had to do this last week when I was like with the Dragon Talk people, because they were like, oh, we're looking at your website. And I was like, you can't just tell me that. That's kind of scary. Hold on. But it's Scholastic Dragon, but you do add an O this time. It's my at name. It's my full at name. .itch.io. Pretty easy, honestly, which I was surprised about when I looked it up, because I was like, this is a lot easier than what I've been telling people. Of which I have made 9 games, all on itch. Some of them less intensive than others. Most of them all vibes. I think I've just passed the year mark of me making games, which feels fun and cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I should get some streamers.
I was trying to see if I had my slide whistle on me, but I don't. I don't have an actual little party one, but I have a slide whistle somewhere. I've like dabbled, like, how do I make a better system? Like just Google Docs and everything like that. But I've never thought about presenting it to people. But I've seen a lot of people like, here's my itch.io, like this is my portfolio kind of stuff. How does someone start, and how does you as a creator know, like, is this good enough for itch, or is it just, I'm putting it up there, I made it, it's good enough?
Let me start by saying everything that you will do is good enough for itch. That's both a praise for you and a knock on itch, because that site is hell. But how you start, I mean, I literally have a list. I just don't know where I put it. But it's something along the lines of, like, think about what you kind of want to do. Like, because, like, you can't really make an idea from nothing. And I think, oh, and I guess the other one would be, like, take inspiration from some things that you like. With credit, of course. So say you're, like, you're reading through a space pirate adventure that you don't quite like. And then you say, wow, like, I don't like X, Y, and Z about this. Well, then take, like, X, Y, and Z, and then kind of, like, put that, metaphorically, I guess, put that on a piece of paper and, like, start to change it. Because then you're going to find that, like, from there, you're going to get a lot of, like, ideas. You're going to get a lot of ideas. A lot of things are going to start forming. The creative juices are going to start flowing. And then from there, you, like, get feedback. Like, hey, friend, who I clearly talked to you already enough, like, how does this seem like? And then they'll probably be like, yeah, this seems fine, or this doesn't seem fine. But, like, the most important step is starting, which, again, also, for, like, I say that, I feel like, oh, is that really advice? But, like, it's the best advice that I can give someone, is, like, you literally have to get something down on page, because from, like, something down on paper, because from there, you will then be able to, you'll realize, like, oh, like, I know a lot of these things, or, oh, this thing that I look at already, like, is already pretty, or I want to do something similar to that, or I'm doing something similar to that. Yeah.
Let's see. Trying to figure out what I was, I went through a whole rabbit hole of looking over the itch.io and Dragon Talk stuff. I'm like, is that, am I thinking of the right Dragon Talk? And you're like, yeah, there it is, CJ McCullough.
Probably. the Wizards People show.
Yes, the Wizards People.
It was the wildest thing. They were like, hey, you want to come on here? And I was like, besties, I barely talk about Dungeons and Dragons. I was very confused. So if you're thinking, man, it's weird that CJ was there, I was also thinking the same thing.
I just didn't know who to expect there, because I'm always like, there's people that I just, like, In all honesty, I don't know many people in, like, the actual Wizards world. I mean, you'll see the, you know, Chris Perkins and everything like that. But the bottom line is, the people that I know that is incorporated with D&D are going to be, like, small creators, people I saw on TikTok mm-hmm. that I've started interacting with. So those are my people. So when I think, like, people that are going to Wizards, like, these are gonna people I don't know, and it's someone that I'm actually talking to right now. So
yeah, that's where I like, yeah. I like, because I was also, I'm literally with you, because I barely know anyone ever, and I like was looking through their catalog of people, and the reason I think I went to go watch that because I think like Brennan Lee Mulligan was on it or something, yeah. like numerous times, or like the Transplaner GM Connie Chong was like on it before when they were doing like the virtual things during the pandemic, because Connie talks about either anti or non-colonial like role playing in games and world building, and the fact that Transplaner exists, and it's literally all transgender people of color led 100%. I hate that I know this. All transgender people of color led 100% homebrew D&D actual play 5th edition campaign set in Antake.
Hell yeah. Connie, you fucking gotta do it.
It's probably not perfect, but it's pretty damn close.
Oh yeah.
But like I know Connie's been on there, and like as well as like just the, it's like a pretty wide range of people that go on there, because I looked through their catalog, and my friend Lexi, Black Girl Mage, was on there, which is what made me listen. Also yeah, it's like, because you'll look at it and you're like, oh look, it's Chris Perkins again, because I've literally seen like his name on there numerous times. But then you'll see like, oh look, it's like someone from Three Black Halflings, or it's like Transplaner is on there on the YouTube one, or like Lexi, who is like not one degree of separation from me, but like one degree of separation from most people that talk to me or like have talked to Lex. It's like a whole thing, and I'm like, I kind of love the indie energy you all are giving, but also please, if you're gonna have these people on, at least listen to them, like absorb their ideas into your skulls, because it's right there. Besties, the blueprints are right there, you can use it.
You have all the like great creators there, you gotta like listen to them, not just like, and we got another listener because I got another person on our podcast and another one. Like, think yeah, about literally. It. Yeah, their ideas aren't like just like, nah, I won't listen to them at all. You know, you brought them on to listen to them a little bit.
Literally. Yeah. It's like, fucking put it on while you world build. We're begging. Like, it will go a long way.
What was your first character?
I was just talking about this yesterday. Their name was Zach Zariel, and they were a Zariel tiefling cleric. I think they were, oh well, it was a war cleric, who was made off of a relative joke of like, I wanted to make the tieflings great again. Please do not ask me where the sentence come from. We all know, but I will not. It was when it was funnier back then. It was never.
That was when it was a joke.
Literally.
Such a like, lighter time.
A little haha. It was like 20.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Literally. It was like 2015 or something. Or like 2016. And then I was like, oh. Granted, it changed very quickly because, as you both may know, as when you make a character that is a joke, eventually it becomes very quickly a non-joke. Because Zach's whole thing, because if there's one thing about me, I'm gonna flesh out my character. Because through the joke of making tieflings great, it became this like whole story of like identity and disenfranchisement of like people that are of like a cultural people that just kind of live in this weird fucked up desert. And then he like betrayed the party. Like I was graduating, but then I came back to that school again, so I like needed a new character. Because the whole thing was the betrayal is like CJ's ability to like leave because I'm graduating, and then I went to grad school at the same school, so it was like lol, like joke's on you CJ, now you need a new character. And it's like, yeah, okay. But Zach was a cleric turned paladin who was just a little too intense and a little too muscular, and I love him.
Like a beautiful young man.
Literally. He's just so talented. I love him. I wonder what he's doing now. He's being sad somewhere.
I don't think I've ever thought about like what are my characters doing now, because it's been the last time I had a campaign, like a long-term campaign end, I'm fairly certain my character died, so like,
oh yeah,
they're floating in the space juice. I don't know, dude, they're out there. But usually at this point in my life, it's just I'm the GM, so I'm busy creating a world. No time to stop and think about the past. There's just no now time. And the future.
I feel like the idea of like, what is my character doing also permeates my world building, which like I is a fact. It is a literal fact because I tend to, and it's the way I play my games, and I tell my players this and they know this, like, hey, the world's going to continue. Like, we have a beginning, we have an end, but in that middle, the world will continue whether you are there or not, to the point at which I've created a flow chart for like plot progression for when my players aren't there, like in a place. And they know this, and it slightly stresses them out because they know that, like, hey, like, eventually, like, they're going to have to, somewhere it's going to be the last place. Yeah. Like, that's like the math of it all. But, like, the last place timeline is always, like, no matter what, which one, it's always something awful. And they're like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, Bessies, the world doesn't revolve around you.
Yeah. How do you keep that in order? A timeline? Is there like a program or just like it's written down somewhere?
There's only one iteration, LMAO, but the first iteration, I could probably do it again, but I have no reason to change it, is sick. Cause I pick a number. So, and that number tends to be like a central number of the campaign, which helps a lot more things. Partially, I don't think I stole that from Transplanar, but once I saw that they did it on Transplanar, I was like, hey, I do that too. And it allowed me to like solidify something. Granted, they don't do this because I would know this because they're an actual play show and I'm a home game and I literally don't know where that series is going ever. And that's what I love about it. But the idea of like I love this, is having a solid number of something and sticking with it. So in my game, the magic number is 6, as in there are 6 celestials, there are 6 countries, there are 6 base languages, 6 items that you have to find. So because I have that magic number, I am able to like make 6, a 6x6 chart, basically, that says like, hey, arc 1... And then say like, and wherever you choose, I have a little bit of flavor text there. And then I go down like, and then I just, and, but I also, I start at the, I start from the beginning and I start from the end. What is the worst thing that I want to happen here? That's box 6 in each category. And then I go backwards. So I say like, okay, well, how is the flying city going to fall? Okay, well, someone has to infiltrate the flying city and, like, do something else. Cool, what comes after that? I don't know, somebody has to steal a magic item from the flying city that makes them not fall. Okay, cool, someone has to kill the person that would be able to save the flying city. All right, cool. Number 6, the flying city's pissed. Number 7, the flying city falls. Like, which is an actual plot point in my home game. And they're that's probably the last one, so I have no problem saying that one on air because the character that had the connection to the flying city is dead, so they literally have they can't go there anymore, so it's like, hey, hey, like, you guys can't stop me, CJDM noises. But yeah, it's not too hard, at least I don't think it's that hard.
Gotcha. Anyone can do I think that's a great idea, the number that stays in that game, something that I had never thought of. But I know it happens a lot within, like, religion and stories and things like that, where this number kind of keeps coming up, and it's like, this is an important number. So putting that into a game, into campaigns and things like that, is just, like, to me, opening up a new, like, potential idea of, like, what could be, how storytelling can be, and how to kind of keep it to a structure, compared to just, like, this is gonna work, because that's just my way of doing things, unfortunately. To Alex's chagrin.
I'm with you.
I get it. I do like that idea, because we were talking about in the last episode about keeping a theme going through your campaign, whether or not it's introducing characters in the same sort of theme to help keep the story going. But me being the tiny baby witchy person that I am, I think the numerology part of it would be really interesting to also play. Like, find the number that would you want to, like, infuse within your game and that energy, and that's what you're basing that off of. So, like, maybe that's just for you, the DM behind the screen. Maybe that is something that the characters figure out if you have those type of people around you that, like, you know, you could start pulling from significant things in your own life or in other ideas of existence that you could play with within your players and within your campaign.
Yeah, 100%. Like, one of the things that it's helped me do, and I think I've, like, when I set a number out, whether it's like for an actual play or like my home game, it means that I like have to work in with that number. And sometimes that means I have a lot of wiggle room, so like the six. Or sometimes that means I have three episodes of like a show that we're doing and I have to like, okay, like the story ends at three and we have to make this satisfying. How are we going to do this? And it's super helpful. It's a lot of fun. Like, and I always let people know like what the numbers I'm working with, like especially for actual plays, but even for my home game, all my players know that it's six. So if anyone asks me, hey, when is this campaign ending? I don't have to be like some odd number of sessions. I can say, well, you all, like, it ends once we hit that six thing. And we're on two right now. So it's like, okay, like the end is in sight, but in a way of like, that's tangible.
That's like a good sense of where things need to go and not just completely wandering and really making things purposeful. Because I could see where a home game, if you just played out, like you could lose that sense of urgency or you could lose that ability to really feel like something needs to move forward. And then it turns into a bunch of nonsensical games where you're just making the DM like shake their head and there's no plot and you might as well have just like gone to a real life bar with your friends and just like hung out. Like, it's not just we're just flirting with each other for the vibes, but like, you know, there's a bigger purpose to this game that we're playing together.
Yeah. It sounds intense when I say this, and probably is, but everything I do in like my games is intentional, even when it's like something that's a one-off. And I mentioned this earlier, so now I'll make it quick because I was like, ooh, it's quick. When enough players don't show up, and it's only happened once, I have six players now. I used to have five, but I have six now. If not enough people show up, so like, granted, one would be like, okay, we're canceling, but usually I'm not just gonna have like one person show up. I'll have two. And two is not enough to play a full story. So what I will do is that I will run a one shot or I'll make something up that has to do with whatever's happening in the plot right now. Last time it happened, they learned, hey, maybe we should try to have more people show up because we did a whole story with like the villain of the current arc that basically not humanized them because you won't catch me humanizing a villain, but it allowed us to go through their backstory and learn that they have not necessarily always been a awful, traumatizing like piece of shit, but they were someone that you could like understand a little bit more like 20 years ago in game. And it was, like, super dramatic, and we didn't do a whole lot of, like, plot-relevant things, but it was still something that made us go, yeah, this was fun, and Warren Nahabi, the villain, sucks. Like, we kind of knew that already, but now it's been, like, mega-confirmed. And we care a little bit more about something that's going on in an episode.
I like that form of player buy-in, right? That I'm important to show up because I want to be a part of the story and just continue the story or, you know, learn other magical pieces about it that just fulfills you while you're playing, you know.
All right. We've reached the hour mark. Alex, do you have any last questions?
No, I enjoy the vibe. I enjoy the idea that everything is intentional and then really making your players feel like they should be there. Because they should be there.
They should be there. They matter just as much as I do. Because I can't bully you if you're not here. So I'm going to make you...
Okay, super.
No! So I'm going to make you feel important because I need you here as I hold my bat. Show up. T tee-hee, and then they all yell at me during the week. This is my last, literally last thing. I have a counter in my game. It's always just me. I will say to them, 5 days until I feel alive, or X amount of days until I feel alive. And nobody responds to it, but I know that they all feel the same way. And I'm like, release your shame, children. Come, let us go into the revelry of sad, sad Dungeons & Dragons at CJ's table, please. That's just me.
Sounds like a great place to be.
I still try to make it sound like I'm cool and like I don't need the Dungeons and Dragons. I'm still in that mind that like, oh, I don't need this. I'm
embrace
fine.
The cringe.
Yeah. I'm in the teen. Well, you. I think it's the teenage stage. Like I'm in the teenage stage of Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I don't need this. But like at home, I'm like, it's fucking
it's
cool.
Kind of neat. Like I can't wait to go again. Like, oh yeah, no.
We had so much fun.
Unashamed. I am at the unashamed stage, which also happens to be the critical stage. It's a really awful little balance that I have to.
Yeah. No. I'm pretty unashamed. It's like people are like. What do you do for fun? I play D&D. You're like, is it that nerd? Yes, it's that nerd game. You want to play? I'll fucking teach you, man. I will teach everything to you. Don't be a weirdo.
Do you need a friend?
I'm like, I don't care if I'm a weirdo. I'm gonna teach you.
Do you feel fulfilled? Like,
do you want to unearth some unknown ideas about yourself? Do you want to talk about
fucking
some tragedies?
Literally.
Do you
oh my god.
Let me know about what's going on in your head. I did that accidentally. Mm-hmm. We were talking about somebody's character. And they kept bringing up that they were like, they felt like they're not belonging. And I was like, do we need to talk about this? Because there's a trend and I sense something that you don't feel like you belong.
Ooh, you did it.
And then you slide
you
the
said
card.
The silent part out loud.
Yep. Gosh.
This has been wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, are you gonna? No, I want to hear you say it.
There's this guy. I mean, same on Alex's story. Like this guy's like, you know, what do you guys want out of this campaign? And then there's like people who are like, I want riches. I want to just be strong and like, I want eternal life. I want to find, you know, that stuff. And then, this is like our first character. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm putting that all in the bank and I'm going to think that that's your actual like real life idea. And if it keeps happening, you're just fortifying that mentality for me.
I want to feel strong.
Mark that down. Ooh, oh my God. People are mean on the internet, as you may or may not know. And I made a tweet once that was like, yes. D&D time? You mean like D&D session? You mean gender exploration time? And like, it was a ha-ha. It was like a little joke, like tee-hee, ha-ha, wonderful, like, everyone I expected to like this. But then I get like some really angry like cis white men who are in the comments like, what do you mean gender exploration time? I would never do that, you know, even though all of my characters are like petite women and we're all, and me and my friends are like, who's gonna tell her? Who's gonna tell her? And it's like, Bessie, you are literally wish fulfillment. Like, you're doing wish fulfillment. Please, I need you. Like, or like, my character is a 7-foot-tall strong man with an axe and everything ever. And we're like, buddy, babe, bestie, boo, I really need you to sit with some things.
I just like watching the character run on the screen. I don't want to watch a dude the whole time.
Fucking literally. And I'm like, I can't keep doing this. Anyway, I locked the comments.
One day we'll be at that unpopularity, Alex. We'll say it's, something.
You don't want
which
to.
Is completely
I'm
normal
so ready
something.
For it.
Don't
and then
want to be.
Some white cis man is just going to just be like, not me.
They're so angry.
Oh, listen. Do I have inspiration now to constantly post on Twitter? Just
yes.
Fishing.
The like hippy dippy woo woo feelings that we have during playing Dungeons and Dragons and making sure I find the hashtags that the bros post on.
Yeah, just hashtags with D&D.
And I'm posting as a fucking Alex. Like, you don't even know, bro. You don't even know.
Just hashtag D&D. They'll find it. Yeah. If you're too kind to yourself on the internet, someone will come along and say, fuck you.
Oh, so much projection.
Literally.
All right. CJ, where can they find you?
Howdy, hi, everyone. I am CJ McCullough, a.k.a. Scholastic Dragon on the internet. If you want to find me on Twitter, you literally just have to type in Scholastic Dragon, all one word. Drop the O on Dragon. Scholastic like the book fair. If you don't know what the Scholastic Book Fair is, I can't help you. Same thing for YouTube. Same thing for TikTok. Outside of that, I have an itch.io where I make games. Scholastic Dragon. Those are two words. Those are two different words, like the words that you would imagine them to be. ScholasticDragon.itch.io. Maybe I'll change that soon. Who knows? And I think lastly, you can catch me on the StrixU, which is an all-black HBCU-inspired Strixhaven campaign set in Strixhaven. That's really about what it is. If you like watching people be the worst people you know, except for my character, that's not me projecting. I tell them this every week. It's just me. I'm me and like one other, the transfer students are the moral compass of that party. Then you can find us. And if you don't like D&D, which would be understandable, you can watch me do a Monster of the Week, an all-black Monster of the Week game called Woeful Revelry, where I bully the shit out of my players. That drops October 17th, 2022. So like next month.
Hell yeah.
That's it.
I need this internal monologue with your voice at all times, just describing everything that's going on around me. I feel like I would be much more fulfilled, and I think the internal voice that I currently have just needs to go in the trash can.
You can change that. That's like, you can wish fulfill that.
Dude. We can talk after. It's fine. We don't have to do this here. Could be literally... It's fine.
Next D&D character will have dulcet tones.
That's a consulting job, right? That's what it is?
It could be anything you need it to be.
Thank you, dear listener, for joining us for another episode of Dungeons and Degrees. Sometimes a D&D adventure. Sometimes we get lots of other things from this podcast. If you love our antics, please join us on all social medias at Dungeon and Degrees. You can yell at us. You can tell me how I'm a terrible person. But as long as we get those likes and views, I don't give a fuck. Just kidding. I really do. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, I really do want a good community to grow and be a part of this thing that we are doing and trying to get other people to change. Whether or not they will is another story. If you really do enjoy this podcast, please like and share with all of your friends, family, enemies, new romantic love interests, whomever you come to in the street, just give them our podcast. That would be amazing and help us out a lot. And as always, if that's just not enough for you and you need to give your cold hard cash to people who really do appreciate it, you can join us on our Patreon at patreon.com/dungeonsanddegrees. You will join the ranks of Skylar, Megan, Alex, Wani, Lucy, Guy, Paige, and the person that I think I would absolutely just uproot my entire life and move for, Noah.
All right. Well, I agree. Noah's phenomenal.
Right? Yes. Noah's absolutely 10 out of 10.
Thank you all so much for listening. My name's Adrian.
And I'm Alex.
And I have been CJ and will probably be CJ in the future.
Congratulations.
Go have some fun.